Cutting through the spin, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, good morning to you. Very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Thank you very much for being with us today. Now, on to some of your comments here. RTE and D Forbes, another Groundhog Day, just like John Delaney and the FAI back in 2019. All sounds like the Angela Kearns woman a few years ago, untouchable. That's still an ongoing situation. Greg Ryan, Tuberty, Joe Duffy and the rest of the top RTE earners are each earning more than Joe Biden, the US president. This is quite remarkable. About Ryan Tuberty, why aren't the revenue commissioners jumping on this? I'd have thought he'd be all over RTE and Tuberty at this stage. Well, there's no question of any tax avoidance or anything like that there. He's an independent contractor and he is a company. Which is an advantage when you're a high earner. And that company, its incomes and expenditures and tax liabilities are all public information as far as I'm aware. So it's how he received the money, not that he in any way avoided tax or anything. There's absolutely zero suggestion of that. A caller says, I hear that politicians are afraid they'll not get all the answers into the RTE debacle. Let remind those concerned politicians that as an Irish citizen, I have never got answers into any wrongdoing by Oireachtas members. It's a system of circling the wagons and nothing to see here, which has prevailed for decades. The anger of the Irish people over this incident is not really about money or indeed Ryan Tuberty. It's more to do with the fact that this is perceived as another stroke pulled by people who live in a different world to those living in tents or hotels, who are struggling to repay crippling mortgages or whose homes are crumbling before their eyes and are concerned politicians couldn't give a toss about them. We've had the Taoiseach leaking confidential information to an unauthorised source. We had TDs forgetting how many properties they owned. What happened? Absolutely nothing. Apologies and lessons will be learned is the only outcome. The only outcome of this inquiry will be just the same. I just wonder how much more corruption can the Irish people take? I would say loads. I would say the Irish people, we have a capacity to take loads and loads of these stories and then we move on and get over it. But some good points there. Well made. Thank you very much indeed. Another here, I worked in the civil service. If someone came under suspicion for wrongdoing, they would not be allowed to resign until after any inquiry. I don't understand why Ms. Forbes was allowed to head for the hills, probably in a top-of-the-range Renault. I also wonder why RTE had to make personal appearances. Sorry, I also wonder why Ryan Tuberty had to make personal appearances for Renault promotions and never wondered why he wasn't getting any pay for these appearances. An old man once said to me, when you're apologising, you're losing. I think Ryan Tuberty's apology was not his wisest decision. Well, there's no... I'm sure that he knew that he had a commitment to Renault for the €75,000 because RTE then paid for those events. So he must have said, well, why am I doing this? I mean, the questions would have been pretty obvious asked and answered, you would imagine. Greg, if D Forbes' wages and pensions were stopped and Tuberty's wages stopped, they would soon talk. Hi, Greg. RTE were carrying out their dirty laundry clean slate prior to new DG coming in. What the D4 bubble didn't expect was the backlash. How can a runner in RTE expect to get on the property ladder in Dublin and watch this? Now RTE shall come after streaming and local radio licence fees. Well, we get no, just by the way, just to be really, really clear on this, we get no licence fee funding here at all. There is some contribution, I think, to documentaries. You can get some funding for that. But there's no, Highland Radio and other independent radio stations are supported solely by advertising revenue. So there's no licence fee money supporting at all, just to be clear. This could have also gone away for Tuberty by coming straight out and paying the 340k and the future 70k's back to staff in more need. Now he shall have to leave. Remember, what some of the bubble had previously been on 900k a year with no competition. Madness. That comes in from Oisin. And just before we take the bingo numbers here, I was on the Letterkenny Dublin 32 bus route yesterday at 6:15 a.m. I have lost my bag. It's a black sports bag. And what I'm assuming happened is someone took it by mistake. I was left with another sports bag, which I left at the Omagh bus station for anyone looking. anyone who took my bag accidentally, you might get in touch, please, as it has personal stuff inside. So were you on the Letterkenny Dublin 32 bus route yesterday morning early on? Did you accidentally pick up a black sports bag? Its owner very keen to get it back. They have left your bag at Oma bus station, if indeed it is a straight swap there.
It's time for NCBI Bingo on Highland Radio.
It's Wednesday, the 28th of June. You're playing on the blue sheet. The reference number is S8. It's game number 26. The numbers are 6, 8, 33, 42, 67, 89, 15, 49, 9, and finally 34. Phone your claim to 910-4833 before 8 tonight. Leaving your name, contact number and the name of the shop where you purchased your book, and we'll call you back the next working day. Get all your NCBI bingo information at highlandradio.com. Mr. Blue Sky,
please tell us why. The Lotto jackpot is an estimated 2.8 million euro.
Play responsibly in store, in app or at lottery.ie.
The National Lottery. It could be you.
Wake up, wake up. The Easy Living Furniture Summer Sale is on with up to 50% off all mattresses, pillows and mattress protectors. With a huge selection of mattresses that are exclusive to Easy Living Furniture and 0% interest-free finance available, now is the perfect time to gift yourself the mattress of your dreams. Speak to one of our sleep specialists today. Summer Sale now on with all mattresses reduced in Easy Living Furniture. Crescent Link Retail Park.
Welcome to the Spa at Orchids, one of Europe's largest spas, at the Holyrood Hotel Bundoran. Discover tranquility in our Japanese-themed garden, boasting 7 treatment rooms, seaweed baths, and a secret garden with an outside hot tub and sauna. Now, let me take you to the heart of Bundoran, where you'll find the Holyrood Hotel Spa and Leisure Centre. Don't miss out on our exclusive midweek hotel specials. More information at holyroodhotel.com.
The 9 till noon show with the Lennon Festival Remelton from the 6th to the 10th of July. Save the date and gather your friends for an incredible lineup featuring Sharon Shannon, ABBA Sensations and Jimmy Buckley.
Okay, lots of you getting back in touch with us, having listened to Des just before the 10 o'clock news. Some of your comments here, my God, my heart is breaking for that man. Letterkenny's not the place for him. He needs to be sent to Dublin, but how do we get him there? Another, Des needs to get to the rehab unit in Letterkenny to be built up and physio before going out to independent living again. If you have any advice on the pathway for that, please get in touch with us. Greg, that man should contact his public health nurse. Unfortunately, if he's not over 65, there's little available in this country, but definitely start with his public health nurse. Another, hi Greg, has Des ever thought of functional medical doctor? There's a small few in Ireland, but definitely think it would be a great option for him. Medical doctors only get a certain distance. I had an undiagnosed autoimmune condition that almost destroyed my life and only got better through online advice from functional medicine. I pray Des gets better and gets his life back. And indeed, if it were me as well, I'd also be looking at potentially a condition such as Lyme disease as well. Listening to the show about ME, I have it since 2009. I spent months in bed, had lots of tests, was told I have ME and no treatment. I had treatment for the vertigo. My family are wonderful with me. I can skip conversations and just say what's in my head. There is no help for it, not even self-help. I'm lucky with having a very patient husband that's extremely tolerant, and the family laugh with me, not at me, with the silly things I do and say. I'm not bad now, so I'm very lucky. I've been where that man is. It takes years to get where I am. With it now. Thank you for all of those comments and messages of support for Des. Right, Dr. Joe Kelly, he's a historian, of course, regular guest on the show, back on the programme this morning. Good morning, Joe. How are you keeping?
Greg, it's not based yet. Good morning to you all there in Highland Radio. How are you?
It's good to have you with us. Thank you very much indeed. Right, you've been opining about the ongoing scandal at RTÉ in another couple of instances as well, Joe. What's your take?
Well, you know, the real problem is, and it's Tuberty and everything else, is what is going on with Irish society? You know, where is the sense of right and wrong gone it seems to be greed, self-interest, lies, entitlement. That has become the norm, especially for those in power. And there's scandal and story after story after story. And the cycle is going to go on and going to go on and going to go on. And where is the consciousness of right and wrong among the ordinary man and woman of Ireland being represented? If we just look just this week alone, so you have Ryan Tuberty, the golden boy of RTE, playing with our gold, the taxpayers' gold. Let's be very clear about this. You look at the head of, or the second in command of the board, Planola, this week has been charged with 9 counts of not declaring properly what was going on in his interests and property. For example, he had a ransom strip and he had other properties that weren't declared. You had Niall Collins, the TD in Limerick, Patrick's well, whose wife bought land and while he was on the council. Nothing came of that. You had Damien English, who had to resign because he didn't declare honestly a planning application for rural housing. It seems to be acceptable.
Just on the Damien English one then, or was it Niall Collins, one of the two of them, Sippo then found really he probably didn't need to resign at all.
Well, I don't know. This is the problem. Where is accountability? For example, the man in the board, Planola, Paul Hyde, I think is his name, the maximum he can get is 5,000 fine or 6 months. But look, this isn't really about individual issues. It's about the overall idea that this country is run by two different moralities. One is that the people in authority, and not all, we have good TDs in our county, that there are no corruptions against them. I mean, in fairness, you know, whether we disagree with them politically one way or the other, they seem to be honest and sincere and genuine in their efforts. But there seems to be at the centre of our government and at RTE and our institutions a certain level of corruption that's acceptable. And there's no accountability, and it's cycle after cycle after cycle.
And it's a case you ride it out. That's what you do. You ride it out. In other words, like the thought would be now, if we can get to the summer recess of the Dáil, this RTE thing goes away. If we reveal information late on a Friday, it'll be buried by the time Monday comes. I feel for the good people working in RTE who were out in the numbers yesterday. I feel for the good people of Umbo Planala who were all tarnished by the actions of certain individuals, particularly in the HSC. I really feel for the staff, the hard-working, underpaid staff within the HSC who are seeing scandal after scandal. And, of course, we all are aware of the good people in the hospital who feel tarnished by the criticism. The Gardaí, the army, all good people who are having reputational damage because the people at the top can do whatever they like and get away with whatever they like, it seems. And then we as a society, you asked, why do we tolerate it? Someone else asked, how much more of this will take? We will take it in perpetuity until such time as we have someone to stand behind that says enough is enough.
Well, the way I look at it, maybe historically, have we replaced the landlords of yesterday with new kind of authoritarian landlords that the laws are for everybody else but not us? And there should be an oath taken. It's in our constitution. Our president has to take it, where you have to act consciously for the betterment of the well-being of the people. There should be an oath taken by every public servant and everybody in authority on state boards to the people of Ireland. And if they are found guilty of any wrongdoing, that oath should be casted up to them and there should be consequences. It's not good enough anymore to be appointed by wink and nod and stuff like that. We need those people to take an oath to the people and the constitution of Ireland, and maybe that's something that can begin to end this cycle of feeling of entitlement. I mean, again, down in Cork there, another story with Cork, the board Planola was Cork. Again this week it was found out that there are 60 apartments in the students' accommodation in Cork that have been given over to IPAS. This is the Department of Equality and Children. There's not much equality for the people and the students going to Cork this year. Where are they going to get accommodation? Who's going to look after them? There just seems to be a veneer of truth told. But when you hear this press statement now, I begin to ask myself, is this a lie? Is this their version of the truth? Or what are they trying to tell us? In other words, what are they not telling us? And again, this is where independent media is terribly important, because you have a better chance of hearing the truth. So look, there's a lot of questions.
Do you know how crazy this world has got, Joe? Yesterday, I don't know the exact, I have the details, but Helen McEntee, the Minister for Justice, you're probably aware of this, I don't know if you are or not, went into court and in front of an unnamed judge, we don't know who that judge is, got a ruling which means that every single person, every citizen in this country, that the phone companies have to retain all of their data for a full year. So every little bit of activity on your mobile phone is retained for access by the government in this country. I'll get the article up and read it properly, or try and dig it out. It's hard to find at the moment. But that happened yesterday. In any other situation, this would just be a huge, huge story. But such is what's going on. Like a government minister went in and got permission from a judge who was nameless to retain all of our data, all of it, for a full 12 months. To do with it, what we don't know. But I mean, anyway, I'm not expecting you to comment on that, because I might be throwing that on you. But crazy. No,
stay with Helen McEntee. She's also proposing a law, and I want to be very careful and sensitive how I say this. Victims, alleged victims of sexual abuse or of rape or whatever, do not have to undergo cross-examination in the new law she proposes. Now, I can understand the necessity for that. But at the same time, it means that somebody being accused of something has not the right to interrogate or ask the person accusing them of what they're being accused of. I know there has to be sensitivity and understanding, but I think that's a very dangerous law. And victims can be protected in other ways. But she's making a blanket proposal that will become law. So somebody will be able to accuse someone of something, but won't be cross-examined. Now, I can understand the necessity of that in certain cases where it has been horrific and the mental torture and what it might bring up. But everybody has a right to counter what's been said to them. That's the system of law in this country. And she's now tampering with that as a Minister of Justice. This is the new wokeism that's gone on. There's no seemingly place anymore for the truth. And the question is, where are we as a nation, as a people, the consciousness of Ireland? Are we really saying that it's okay to be corrupt, that that's what we come to expect from high places, and sure, that it'll blow over tomorrow and it'll be something else? And you know,
yes, but Joe, in fairness to the people, we the people, okay, how you just have to accept it, because at the end of the day, that's probably what people feel, because we're dealing with all our everyday crises, our health issues, our mortgage issues, our defective concrete issues, our children's health and well-being issues, right? We can't take on the system. So what we do is we sit in the kitchen, we huff and puff about it, then we watch Coronation Street. And I'm not actually criticising people for doing that. That's what I do. I'm talking about myself here, right? So there is no light at the end of the tunnel, and the light at the end of the tunnel looks like a train, right? So there's no, that's why I talked about having someone that you could get behind. And what happens is if someone sees genuinely someone who seems like in an opposition to the government, they might throw in a few other issues that they're not comfortable aligning themselves with, right? Okay, so it would need to be someone that say, right, we're going to get rid of corruption. We're going to have a root and branch reform of everything. But sure, how would you get past the top civil servants to do that anyway? They have just been okayed for a massive pay rise. So, you know, where do you start? That's why people just keep the head down, have a wee moan, but sure, nothing you can do about it.
And that I think you've hit the nail on the head. And I think that's what the people in authority and in power and I'm in government, and I don't want police to be attacking individual politicians. I'm on about the authority. That's what they know. It's, you know, it's like a hamster wheel, and the poor hamster's spinning around the wheel all the time. And what they're doing is making our wheel bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're having to put around a bigger wheel, but we don't realise that the wheel has been made bigger all the time, and we're going to die from exhaustion. For example, in the last year, we've had 8 interest increases. Yet we're proposing to put 441 billion of European monies into Ukraine. You know, where's the money coming from for the Ukraine? Not that I'm saying they shouldn't get it, but then they can put up 8 interest increases on the ordinary mortgage payer of Europe, of Ireland.
Yeah, but the problem, but Joe, listen, I'm not an economist, but the problem is the reason they're increasing mortgage interest rates is because there's quite a lot of people really quite well off in this country. They're trying to take money out of the economy. So they're not putting interest rates in up necessarily to fund what's happening in the Ukraine. The problem is they're trying to say, right, OK, we don't want anyone to get any more pay increases. We need to tax people more and we need to increase interest rates. There's 142 billion euro in household savings in this country. There are quite a lot of people well off, though there are quite a lot of people under press. So instead of trying to maybe even out that money and have a society whereby there's some level of equality, you tax and interest rate people out of existence. That's what they're trying to do. And they make no bones about it. They keep the foot on the person because that's how they drive down inflation, allegedly.
Well, I hear what you're saying and I don't disagree, but it's not about so much keeping down inflation. It's about keeping people down sufficiently under pressure that they haven't time to look left and right and complain because they're struggling to survive, be it with concrete tax, be it with mortgage, be it with increasing household products to buy for shopping, etc. That they have the masses under so much pressure that they haven't time to keep us looking left or right. And then they throw an oil epidemic in the middle on top of that and threaten us with another epidemic and blame the Ukraine for the oil crisis. And they have issue after issue coming at us nonstop. We need to take a breath. We need to stand back and say, hold on a minute here. We are not to be abused and used like this. And people have to start awakening to what's going on and stop taking it from authority or from the media that this is what the real story is. The real story we know, and we're not being told the truth. And the question
I think I would prefer if your argument was a little bit nuanced, because I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think chucking everything in there that you've chucked in, I think obviously, I think sometimes, hey, don't waste a good crisis to keep the people down. But I know what you're saying, and I have my own thoughts on it, right? So me and you could be sitting anywhere chatting, having this conversation. You get me? I'm not here sort of speaking as a person just like you are. I think some of it, is definitely there. Fear is a great control, definitely is. And there's just no doubt about that that's being used. But that's being used by all sides. You know, we're being scared into disagreeing with the government because our children are going to be taken off us or abused or something. Do you know what I mean? Fear is how people nowadays try and get their point across rather than sort of articulating good points with backed up by decent facts. I'm not accusing you of that, of course, not for a second.
But I think that's what's the intention, and this is where I see the real problem, is where people in power are severing the truth. They're separating people from their families, from their culture, from their faith, from their history, from our roots. And that's what they want to do. And, you know, what happens then is like, you know, the movies, the Westerns, and you have the tumbleweed blown across the screen. People are being blown here and there and everywhere because we're not rooted. We're not able to say no. We're not able to say we're not accepting this because we're being blown from one crisis into another crisis. And as I said, like the hamster, we're so busy and the wheel has been made bigger and bigger. And we're having to push this wheel around, be it with family, childcare, mortgages. And we're just getting exhausted.
But would your Ireland not look like it looked different, but there would be controls? But they're just be coming from different places. Like, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you mentioned religion there. Perhaps you would like to see a stronger role for church in society. I don't know if you would or you wouldn't. Or perhaps you'd like to see, a roll back on some of the some of the legislation that's been changed lately that gives certain people more freedom over their own health. You know what I mean? Maybe would you like to see us go to be a little bit more conservative? And if so, that's just control in a different way, Joe, from a different group of individuals.
No, well, I hear what you're saying, and no, that's not what I mean by that. Faith is a moral compass across all religions. Faith gives you an understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And look, me and you might disagree about what's right and wrong, but at least we're talking about what's right and wrong. And Gabriel Byrne, once he was on the Late Late Show and he was being interviewed and he was back doing a film in Ireland. And Gay asked him, you know, you're a Catholic, but you don't practice. He says, yeah. But he says, you send your kids to the Jesuit school while you're filming here in Ireland. He says, why did you send them to a Catholic school? And the question was very powerful. And he said very simply, well, he says, I'm not a practicing Catholic, but you know what? I know if I send my children to that Catholic school, they'll be asked the right questions for life. In other words, that they will go out of school thinking the right way to ask the right questions. And I see religion as asking the right questions. It's not necessarily about control. It's about challenging every individual. This is right or this is wrong. And let's discuss it. Mm. And so it creates a moral sense of right and wrong. We need to have some kind of compass. But at the moment, there is no compass. Yeah. And whatever is the latest woke, and this is what I'm saying, like the tumbleweed blown across.
When you say woke, what do you mean by woke? Like when you say about woke culture, what are you getting at there, Joe?
That it's the rootless, R-O-O-T-L-E-E-S, the rootless. There is no connection, not grounded, and it blows around from place to place. Whatever's in today, it'll be in something else tomorrow, it'll be something else the next day. We are bound in our communities. We are rooted in our communities. We have a sense of place, of what's right and wrong, of tradition, of family. All that comes from our rootedness in communities. And we get a sense of who we are and what we're about and our nationhood in our communities, in our families. And for me, I think the woke philosophy is to cut all that, cut our history, cut our culture, cut our faith, cut our family, and have us blow around with whatever the latest thing is. And look, there, things have to change.
Yeah. But look, I think we're going through a period of almost defining ourselves going forward. It's a little bit like these. It's a little bit like these. These meetings that were being held to discuss are, effectively, people thought it was discussions over neutrality. But what it allowed people to do was it gave people actually the majority who want us to be neutral and not to join NATO a voice. So in other words, it was, I don't know. Some might say counterintuitive or productive. Also, what we're seeing now is the woke culture that you talk of is, and the pushback to that is creating a debate. And I think somewhere in the middle of wokeness and conservatism, if those are the opposites, we will find the path for humanity for the next generation or so. No?
What you're saying resonates with me. And I've often thought, you know, a president or a government, a phrase that they should have for their campaign is finding our way again. And we talk about history, Greg. We were a great nation once, and we still can be that great nation. And for me, I think, you know, you talk about religion, or you talk about, you know, what directs us, what's our compass. It's very simple. If you look into the old FINA motto, which Patrick Pearse used, and which I use myself personally, and it was a three-phrased Irish phrase, Neart nor Lavav, Glanor nor Creag, as Onrig in their Jangav. Strength in our hands, honesty in our hearts, and cleanliness on our tongues. If as a nation we just adhere to that old philosophy of the warriors of the Fianna of ancient Ireland, that we had strength in our hands, honesty in our hearts, and cleanliness on our tongues, that would direct our nation in a wonderful way. And we need to try to find that way again. But unfortunately, we have lost our way because of certain, and I just say certain people in authority have a sense that lies, entitlement, dishonesty, you know, whatever you want goes. Yeah. No, it doesn't. For people to express their discontent. Yeah. And maybe I'm one of those people.
No, well, you see, the funny thing is this, and this is just, again, a personal view, is if I believe that outside of people that vote along party lines, right, they'll just go out and vote for doing that. I actually think almost the strongest voice, and it's the wrong way to describe it, but the most important figure at election time for me is the people that don't bother voting at all, the 40 or 50%. Because it is they, I think, that we're talking about here. It's not that they've got something on. It's not that they don't. It's just that they don't see the point. It's like they see everyone as the same cheeks as the one bum. What you know what I mean? And I think a huge proportion of the population that choose not to get involved in the democratic process, I think that's a really important cohort of people, because I think those are the ones that are just like, stuff it, what's the point in this country?
You're correct there, because, you know, when the booths close on election day, the existing status quo, all they need to know is that the turnout has been between somewhere at 40 and late 50%, and they're happy because they know that there's a chance of surviving. But if it goes beyond 60%, they know there's trouble ahead. You are 100% right. If the turnout goes beyond 60%, then there will be a change to the system, the status quo. And we see that, for example, in America, and I don't want to get into the Trump-Biden debate, but the massive turnout of voters in America that were galvanized by the Trump and by the Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and then later by Biden, it galvanized people. And I think that moment will come in Ireland. Ireland will be galvanized. Someone will come along.
Well, it was Boris Johnson. It was Boris Johnson in Britain, and it was Donald Trump in America, that they perhaps gave a voice or a motivation to people that felt left behind or what's going on in this country.
Well, maybe they're not the best example.
No, but yes, but my point is that I think that is why they were so successful. I mean, it might be a different type of person that maybe is not quite as, you know, flamboyant or as such a checkered past or whatever it might be. But I think it is they that spoke to those people that go, you know what, he's right. He's right about what I'm going through. He's understood. He knows it. Now, Boris was able to blame Europe for everything. It was a simple message, keep the immigrants out. And as it turns out, that never happened. And the same happened. It worked in America. But anyway, Joe, listen, come here. In the last 30 seconds, fix it. Like, if we were a computer, it would be great if we could sort of switch it back off and on again. You know, reset the router.
We have to find a way to stop this cycle. And we will find a way. I think that if people eventually get to a point saying, look, we've had enough of this. This is not acceptable. I mean, when the golden boy of RTE is found playing with our gold, I mean, that's pretty, you don't get any higher than that. And to his fall from grace in the last week, it'll have to make us think about what is going on and what we are being told. And people need to start questioning from now on what's happening. And can I just say one thing? In history times, people, when they were wealthy, they were buried in the churches. The wealthy people could afford, and they were buried under the boards of the churches in medieval times. The poorer people were buried out in the outskirts of the church and far away from in the graveyard. And after a few months, people go into the church and they get a smell. And they'd say, what's that smell? And they say, oh, that's the stinking rich. The smell of the dead bodies coming up through the boards of the church where they'd been buried. Well, what we have at the moment is not everybody, but we have stinking politicians, we have stinking people in authority, and people are smelling that stink. And we have to start...
What a metaphor. All right, stay there for a quick sec. Let's bring Liam in. Liam?
How are you doing,
Joe? I think you have other things on, Joe. I'll let you go, right? Thank you very much for that. Liam, you crack on. Go ahead.
I just sent on a text.
Greg, we invited you on to talk about it. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, simply put, anybody that the government consistently says that the tax in this country is paid, the substantial amount of it is paid by the highest earners. And Ryan Tubridy is a perfect example, and I'm not picking on Ryan. Simply put, if you're getting paid in excess of $150,000 in this country at the minute, you're then in a position where you can actually go and pay someone to minimise or completely negate your tax liability. As has now come out in Highland Radio, in RTE, Ryan isn't actually an employee. He's a subcontractor. Mm. He's getting paid through a limited company. Does anybody really believe when the government says that the most tax is paid by the highest earners? I'd have to say, I cannot thank Dr. Joe enough for coming on and yourself for actually hitting on this point about the moral compass in this country at the moment, Greg. We have completely lost all sense of where we're going. And I'd have to say the country is crying out for someone. I would love to get Dr. Joe's contact details and send him something and see if there's any way that, whether it be a social media group or some sort of a forum can be set up whereby the ordinary people, as they do on your radio station, Greg, and ring in and air their grievances or whatever, but just to call out what is going on and raising their concerns around. Like,
I'll let you continue your point. Something too, you mentioned, you know, the more money you have, the better you can avoid sort of your liabilities legally. Okay, you can employ someone to do.
I'm not saying it's illegal.
No, I get that. But also, what it reminds me of is that, Liam, if I don't pay my mortgage, I probably have about 5 or 6 months before my house is taken from me. My credit rating is destroyed. I would continue to owe that money.
It'll be a wee bit longer than
that. I'd have no house. But if I owe a bank 9 million. I can pay them 65 grand and write off over 8 million. It seems like I think that's all part of the same thing. The more money you have, or the more debt you have, the biggest chancer you are, the less you're liable for anything.
That's absolutely the way it appears to be, Greg. And we don't seem to have any way. We elect our public rep. I'm extremely passionate about the Mica situation, and we elect our public representatives, and you can see that we don't appear to be getting proper representation of those homeowners. They consistently tell us lies around whether it's 10% or you're getting 100% redress. It's just absolutely shocking, you know.
Yeah. All right, Liam. Listen, strong points, well made. I appreciate you getting involved in the conversation. Okay, as you know, on this programme, we keep you across everything as much as we can. And thanks to Amber Barrett, I think I can say, Ireland is going to be taking part in the World Cup. And its squad, the country's squad, has been announced. Our sports editor, Oisin Kelly's just got his hands on it, so we're still working through it. 1, 2, 3. I'm working out the new mics here. Hello.
Hey, Greg. I think you've the wrong one. Right. You see, you've actually... That is originally...
In the wrong place.
Yeah, because you move things about for your cameras. So you do.
Anyway, we're here. Okay, so any surprises in the squad?
There is a few surprises, but the main thing from our point of view is there's two Donegal girls going down under in the form of Amber Barrett and Ciara Grant. Now, I didn't doubt for a minute that Amber Barrett would not be going, because how could you leave at home the girl that basically scored the goal to make history for the Republic of Ireland ladies, first time ever going to a World Cup, and she played well in the recent friendly as well against Zambia, where she scored 2 goals. She hasn't scored in a while, but she got 2 against Zambia. And Ciara Grant also featured that day as well and got a bit of game time. It doesn't happen too often when both Amber and Ciara are playing together, but Vera Powell has included both girls in her squad, which is fantastic for Donegal, and both girls thoroughly deserving of their place, Greg.
We had a third Donegal player involved in the squad that hasn't made the...
Yeah, Aaron McLaughlin. It was actually 2 more. Aaron McLaughlin was involved in the squad recently, but it was more to give Aaron sort of experience of being involved in a top-level group. Aaron's from, and has shown, very, very talented football. There's no doubt of Ireland are going to be going to World Cups in years to come. Aaron will be part of the...
Our time will come.
Unfortunately, Roman McLaughlin, things just haven't worked out for Rome over the course of the last number of years. She was in America, and then she came back over closer to home, and she moved actually to one of the Danish sites looking to try to get a bit of game time and cement a place in the World Cup squad. But she wasn't involved in the recent panels and for the friendly. So disappointing for Roma, who's been around the Ireland setup for quite a number of years and came back into it. And over the last 6 months or so, it hasn't worked out for, unfortunately. But it's an environment that you're involved in that is very, very competitive. So it is. And obviously with a number of players now playing top level football across the water in England and elsewhere, it was always going to be, it's going to be a big achievement for a player to be part of this 23.
Yeah, in management terms, you have to keep an eye on the future too. There's a conveyor belt, and you know, some of the players that will be featuring for Ireland in this competition won't feature in the next, and that's where then Aaron and other players start coming in
There's a few surprises sprung. Mannion, Megan Campbell and Leanne Kiernan are not included. Now, there was hopes that Campbell and Mannion would be fit for the World Cup. Mannion obviously plays her football with Manchester United, but she only got a brace off on her knee on Monday. Mm. So the match sharpness wouldn't be there. The fitness is not there, so they didn't want to take a chance with her. And Campbell hasn't really been involved since April time, and she's been struggling with Liverpool, and likewise Kiernan as well has had an ankle injury and just not fully fit, because you really do need to be on your game when you're going to the World Cup. But the squad is now out, and there's disappointment for a number of players, which that's a hard pill to swallow. not been included. Yeah. But for the other girls, they'll be buzzing at the moment. So they will. And there's a big media day tomorrow. We understand it's done in the format of like a Super Bowl. So all the players are there, and it's a conveyor belt of the media. So this is all going to kick off now. They've a friendly coming up against France at the Tallaght Stadium next week.
That's in Dublin, I take it,
is it? It's going to be in Dublin, yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to come too far north with it anyway.
It's a bit of a shame too, because you know a lot of people in different areas would want to hear from their local girls.
Yeah, but there's no doubt you'll be hearing from the local girls now in the next couple of days.
We have our way. Yeah. I'm about one of four strikers. Is that a low number of strikers?
I thought so when I seen it first, Greg. I thought so. You think you would need five. But like, when you look at what's in the midfield, like obviously.
Because Amber, actually, if I'm not mistaken, Amber's been playing in a more defensive role for Standard League now. As I say, I don't know.
Standard League, yeah. Yeah, she'd had a.
Just because the Germans.
It's Liège, isn't it?
It is, of course.
Yeah.
So, but I'm a non-conformist.
She's had different roles with them, so she has. But for the Republic of Ireland, she'll obviously be playing. Nice. She'll be playing up top, and maybe she's starting to find form again for Ireland. Yeah, we've seen it with Zambia. Fingers crossed that she can do it in the World Cup. So, but if you look at the midfielders, like it's packed with midfielders. I think Payne as well can actually, who's one of the defenders, can play in a forward role. So. Even though there's four named, they're not going to be short of scoring outlets, Greg.
Yeah, and can we, in terms of the competition,
yes.
When does it start?
It starts on July 20th when the Gardaí are going to kick off their campaign and they're taking on the co-host Australia. And there's two other group games
that's
to come.
Be some match with the Irish population in Australia playing the host nations.
I was actually chatting again this morning that's going to Australia now towards the end of. Towards the end of August, going out for a year. He was on here earlier this morning with the post, so he was Ryan. So, listen, there's so many people from Donegal and from Ireland who are in Australia.
Shocking.
So there is, and like they're still leaving and they're playing loads as we speak, so Greg. But from an Irish point of view, especially the Irish that are in Sydney,
it's brilliant.
It's going to be class.
What
for them.
Is our expectations? Where are we at?
It's a good question, Greg. Yeah. It's a very good question. You would like to, I think when you always looked at the men in World Cups, like if you were getting out of your group, it was seen as a huge achievement. So can Ireland get out of the group? It would be a massive achievement if they can get out of there. And what it would do for women's football in this country, like it's excelled over the last couple of years, Greg. And to top it off now, going to a World Cup, and if they can put on a performance in the World Cup and if they can get out of the group stages, it would be huge for the group, but for the actual game in this country and the way that women's soccer is developing, or football. Kenny Harkin heard me calling it soccer and he says there's only one football game, but the way it has developed, you see now the way England, what they're trying to do with it, they're trying to push it on, there's a lot more money involved in it. So there is
But I watched this sounds like an awful thing to say, but like I watched the European Championships.
Yeah.
And I thought it was excellent. Yeah. Like watched lots of games and I think the standard has come up significantly, but a big tournament kicks it on massively, like you know.
It does.
All right, so that's what we'll have for the summer to watch. All right, slim pickings at the moment. You couldn't pay me to watch cricket.
There's not a lot happening at the moment, Greg, so there's not now, but we'll get a lift from next month with the Irish girls.
And we've got a local connection, which whatever local station wants, we've got.
Do you remember? Look at the World Cups that the likes of Paddy Bonner and Shea Given and all these boys were involved in. Now we've got two Donegal girls and a first ever Ireland squad going to a World Cup. Brilliant. It's just a pity it's so far away, Greg. I mean, you couldn't go.
I think if the truth be told, if it was in Sligo, we'd struggle to get the clearance to go. You might, but I certainly wouldn't. All right, Osh, thanks so very
much, Greg.
Indeed. That's Oisin Kelly, our sports editor. He and the team, of course, will bring you all the build-up to the World Cup and all the local angles and all that kind of stuff. So we thank Oisin Kelly for that. Right. Okay. We're inundated in a really positive way with comments coming in. Hi, Greg. Joe Kelly is amazing. He's speaking every word of truth. This country is slowly going down the drain. The government is corrupt and uncaring. Crisis after crisis, and they turn a blind eye. The Irish people are being ignored. The people at the top are getting pay increases every year, where the ordinary people are abandoned. People need to wake up. That man is speaking every word of truth, which I wish there was more like him. Our country, our culture, they're trying to destroy. Another listener says, Joe Kelly, there is no accountability in this country. Never was. No one cares. Another here. Greg, Tuberty says there's a check for everyone in the audience. Thanks, Eddie. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? RTE debacle is bad, but not the most important thing going on in Ireland at present. Time war politicians have at least something to agree on. People affected by the current cost of living, hospital waiting lists, defective blocks, farmers and fishermen losing their livelihoods. The list goes on. And on, are we not considered or helped? Ryan Tuberty's taking one for his Fianna Fáil buddies. Well, let me tell you, the way I view it is that this is a symptom of all the problems that you talked of as well. Yes, it's not the most important thing. Yes, it's a big deal at the moment. But if you think, what's going on in the hospitals? Where's the accountability there? Where is the sense that, you know, someone, if a job's not done correctly, can be held accountable for it? The head of the HSE, is he likely to get the run if things don't improve? No. As it relates to the defective concrete blocks crisis, the people of Donegal know fine well that this scheme is not going to help as many people as it should. But what will happen? Nothing. It won't, unless there's a change of government and a new government follows through in commitments. Farmers and fishermen, we know fine rightly what's happening. They're being legislated out of business. That's how many of them feel. I'm not saying that. That's how they feel. But really, they come on the radio and they go in the newspapers and talk about it. But what happens? Nothing. It's a decision has been made and you can huff and puff, but that's the way it's going to be. And I actually think this whole RTE controversy, forget the name RTE, forget the name Ryan Tuberty, just think of it public service. It's public. You're paying for it. You're obliged to pay for it or face major fines. You know, people are having their say, people are upset, but what will come of it? Nothing. So they're all the same. It's all the same. So I don't think it is a distraction, or at least it shouldn't be allowed to be one. The only thing consistent in this country is the fact that money talks, says this listener. Our government over the years only ever react to money. I fear the people affected by defective blocks, nothing will happen until each and every one of those people stop paying their mortgages. Again, that plays right into the hands of the banks and the state because they become defaulters. They could have their properties taken from them for what they're worth, and their credit rating would be destroyed. Any hope they would have is gone. But anyway, I take your point and I'm not contradicting you. They go on to say, this is unrealistic, I know, but if the banks aren't getting the money for these derelict homes, the government will soon act. Equally with RTE as a group, we should all refuse to pay the TV licence. The only way to affect this government is money, unfortunately. About time someone spoke out about this. Dr. Kelly's spot on. Keep the people down at all costs. Another, hi, Greg. Bad money for ruining this country. Last one before the news. Greg, he is right. Hi, Greg. He is right. The light at the end of the tunnel. Yourselves, the likes of Joe Kelly, getting the information out the last couple of years. Information was stifled. Nobody was talking or got talking. The information has to be put out daily the same way they give is doing to RTE, the government. Keep pushing the corruption of the government. The people will eventually get the courage to make the change. People forget they have the power, says that listener there.